All right. Hello, my girls. Welcome to the podcast. We're very hyped today. So I have a special guest today. Her name is Jill. You might know her as Soles of Your Feet on Instagram. I'm going to let her introduce herself, tell you all that she's about. And then today we're going to talk to the girl who's just been feeling disconnected in her body.
Hello, everybody. I'm so, so, so excited to be here and to get to catch up with my girl, Emily. This is so exciting. So a little bit about me. I recently, within probably about the past 6 months, I have started my own online business, which has then opened up so many other doors for me in my life, many of which are around healing and my healing journey, which I've already been on this journey for a little over 3 years at this point. But the community that I'm a part of and that I work with is just like so inspiring and has truly inspired me to step into myself in ways that I have never even expected before. One of which being what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. If y'all can't tell, like Jill and I are just smiling at each other. Like we just have this like energy of like, this is going to be money. Like we're so excited. And I think I'm also really excited for us to talk about this topic today because we are recording this during quarantine. And so I definitely think from my experience in my business, I've had more and more women reach out to me saying like, I'm really struggling with my body. I'm really struggling with my body image because there's not a lot of distraction in life right now. We're kind of all just stuck at home for the most part, staring at mirrors, you know,
There's been a lot of looking in the mirror.
And there's just more time and there's a lot more time to scroll on social media. So I think that also plays into that there's a lot more time of comparison. And so Jill, if you'd like to just give like a quick brief, I guess, experience of like you and your relationship to your body before it was good, before you felt connected with it, what was that like for you?
So I never formally had an eating disorder. I'll start off and say that. However, not everything is diagnosed. I did struggle with years and years and years of like major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. And these are still things that I deal with on a regular day to day. And I think through that, I just generally, part of my self-hatred was hating on my body, as I feel majority of people who are depressed probably do. I hated myself and therefore I hated my vessel that carries me in this physical world. What I have come to realize more recently is how certain like childhood traumas have really like how they've impacted me and my connection with my body, which going through all of those stages where I hated like my legs have always been my biggest insecurity, and looking down and seeing my thighs jiggle like drives me insane. And now I'm like, all right, embrace the jiggle. But I recently, so I started this course recently, which I found out about through the community that I've been involved in for work. And it's an inner rhythms course. And it's pretty spiritual, but also like just going into the spirituality behind connecting to yourself and your body and your own personal inner rhythms. And I'm starting to realize more and more how big of a disconnect there actually was. And it makes me wonder how many other people have this disconnect and don't even consciously realize that there is a disconnect. Because I've been working on, you know, like following my intuition. That's a body connection that you need to have in order to follow your intuition. Yeah. Because that is a feeling that you're going to feel somewhere, somehow in your body. It's not going to feel or look the same for everybody, but that's a body connection. Mm-hmm. And it's something I didn't know how to pick out for a really long time. And I'm diving in. It's so cool. I'm just learning about all of this. But how big of a role our period and our moon cycle as women impacts our body, and how important that is for a connection with your body. And so personally, I had cancer when I was 5 years old, which then resulted in 8 days of radiation in a row and 6 months of chemotherapy. I have been going through like a lot of fertility stuff. I was supposed to get my eggs frozen and all of this stuff. And basically like am supposed to be heading into premenopause at 22 years old, might I add, which is not an everyday thing. However, if you're going through it, I hear you. But because of that, my period has never been regular. I had it for 6 weeks straight my sophomore year, which until recently, I never thought twice about. I was just like, oh, like, it's not normal. My body's not normal. That's it. That was happening because of a disconnection between myself and my soul and my inner being and my body.
Oh, I love.
That's why these things happen in our bodies and within our health. Like, oh.
Well, you can't not. No, I love what you were saying, because we try so hard to hate our bodies away. Like, we're like, if we just hate it enough, it'll go away, or parts of it will go away, or parts of it will change. But how in the world do you plan to coexist with something like your body, right? You can't get away with it. And as dark and as sad as this sometimes is for people, like, what's the point in hating it? There truly is no point. You can't leave it. And that was so hard for me to come to terms with, because I always had the insecurity of like, insecurities are so funny to me, because whenever I say like my biggest insecurity was always that I had broad shoulders. And when I say that, people are like, what? And I was like, no, like my whole life, I was like, I thought I was so broad. I thought I had the broadest shoulders. I thought everyone hated my shoulders. Like, and who knows where that insecurity came from, but like, I hated my shoulders. Like, what did that do for my life? And it's something I can't change. And I think there's also so much more science coming about. Like, you can't really change your body set point. Like this whole like war on like the BMI chart and everything. Like, there's a way your body is intended to look, and you really can't alter it. So to try to, and it's healthy there, it's happy there. Like, what am I going to do? Try to shrink my shoulders? Like, it's just not possible. And hating it away creates that disconnect. It creates the distrust that is exactly what you were talking about, your intuition. I talk about it with eating disorder recovery. You can't hate your body for so many years and expect your body to function properly. It doesn't trust you. It isn't sure that you're not going to starve it. It isn't sure that you're not going to overexercise it or underrest it. And I've never thought of it that way, but it truly is. Like, when people say you're not your body, I think what people don't realize is, like, you hear you're not your body, you're a being. And you're like, yeah, no, you're right. But your body is also somewhat a being. And so to say like, I'm not my body, like we'll just ignore it or hate it or whatever, it also needs love and support. Like, you're not your body. That's true. But your body is also a something. Does that make sense?
Your body's part of you.
It's part of you.
You're not your body, but your body is a part of you.
Yes. And it needs you. It doesn't work by hating it away.
Wow. I just had something. It's just like, you talk about having a relationship with food. You also have to have a relationship with your body. And this is something that I am learning right now on so many deeper levels. And signing up for this course that I'm doing was a really big stretch for me, to be completely honest. I have never been comfortable. I've never once actually coming on here and saying it. That was the first time I've ever referred to my period as my moon cycle.
I like it.
First time ever.
You heard it here.
You did. You heard it for the first time. I just wasn't raised that way. My mom's not very girly, which doesn't have to say whether or not you're connected to your body. However, I'm adopted. Both of my brothers are adopted. She never went through the birthing process. Clearly, so she wasn't able to have children. So clearly there's some disconnect there. She also struggled. I don't know if I should share this. She struggled with an eating disorder when she was younger. And yes, she always taught me to, you know, I'm fine the way I am, like love yourself. But it wasn't anything past that. There was no deeper level. And I with who I am as a person, I need the deeper levels.
Yeah. And I love, like, I think something that you just said, I love that you were talking about, like, love yourself, because this is something that I get a lot of times from girls, because I was this way where I was always, so when I felt so disconnected with my body, and for those girls mm-hmm. listening, like Jill was saying, I mean, it can come across in so many different ways. Like, I had really bad digestion issues, super bad, because I was always anxious, always upset, and always, mm-hmm. yeah, frustrated with my body. You can have digestion issues, mood swings, definitely hormonal and period imbalances, like even joint problems. Like, you can, if you mm-hmm. have a poor relationship, it can come across in different ways. And then I think from that, trying to reconnect, I think it's very difficult sometimes to just make this huge jump, like your mom was saying. And of course, moms give, like, they give great advice of, like, love yourself. But sometimes it's difficult to wake up one day and go, I hate mm-hmm. my body. Okay, now I'm going to love my body. And mm-hmm. the best advice I ever got was, like, your body doesn't necessarily, and I'm going to say this, like, very delicately, because I think it can come across weird, but your body doesn't really need you to love it all the time. It needs you to respect it. Mm-hmm. And what respecting is doing is caring for it. I have days where I'm like, not a huge fan of my legs today, or whatever it is. Like, we all do. Absolutely. But I don't alter how I treat it because of what my mind is saying about it. I only make alterations to my body when my body is giving me signals, not my brain. And that's something as well that I teach my girls, is if your brain is going, hey, like, we should make our thighs smaller, like, we should really, like, start to restrict, we should make our thighs smaller. I didn't get that message from my body. And what that message is going to negatively impact is my body. So let's take her into account, right? Like, we can't just listen to kind of the ego sensitive mind of mm-hmm. like making all of these crazy drastic changes to our image when our image isn't really asking for it. And that's a huge connection between you and your body, like asking its permission, asking how it's doing, and being in tune with it and realizing, like, there's different signals. Some come from your brain and they don't get to impact your body. You can think it, you can have the thought, like, awesome, but actions don't get to be taken on behalf of your body from your brain.
It's the vision versus the illusion, mm-hmm. right? Our mind comes up with this illusion of something we need to create. But if you listen to your body will offer you the vision of what it really needs to be. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I'm learning right now of within this course. Like, we just talked about intuitive eating the other day. And, like, I was recommended to wake up and first thing in the morning during my morning meditation, like, place my hand on my lower belly and ask my body, what are you craving right now? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want for breakfast? What feels good to you right now? And the first thing to come to mind, like, it's probably, like, that's instinctual right there. Yeah. And this is part of the reason that I love all of the content that you put out, because it's so much bigger than just, like, eating disorder recovery, mm-hmm. because an eating disorder, as I know you've talked about, is tied to so many other things going on within yourself. And this, like, a disconnect within yourself and your body is a disconnect within yourself and your inner being and who you are at the core and who you were before you had all these influences around you and have been impacted by society. It's so incredible, and just it blows my mind, our power in it, but also just the power in recognition of this, of all of these disconnects come from us being disconnected with ourselves, period. Mm-hmm. And being out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And when we live that way and we keep living like that, it's gonna manifest in all of these other ways, whether it be an eating disorder, whether it be substance abuse issues. There's so many different sectors of ways, whether it be joint problems or digestion problems. Like, truthfully, it will manifest physically in your life, like physically within your body and within your life. And it's all this connection with yourself. And it all comes back to the same thing. And it's like, okay, are your actions aligned with, like, what your intuition is telling you? Or are you listening to the thoughts in your head that are influenced by the environment that you have grown up in and are currently surrounding yourself with, which you also do have a choice of who you're surrounding yourself with and where you are. Like, there is a choice in this matter, and there's a choice in the thoughts that we choose to have about this. There's a choice in whether or not you're actually going to sit down tomorrow morning and ask yourself what your body is craving. Mm-hmm. And this is how we start to build this relationship. Cause I'm not there yet. Like, I'm currently realizing how big of a disconnect I've truly had, but now's the time to rebuild that and to start taking the steps that I need to do to get back to this place that I once was. As a baby, I was there. I had that connection. If my body needed something, I would cry out as a baby. That's how we are as babies, right? And that's us. That's our inner child. And that's where, like, oh, somewhere along the way, we get this disconnect. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember to come back. Mm-hmm. Whether that be with our relationship with food, our body, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you said it like beautifully. I think the disconnect comes from, because it doesn't even, like Jill was saying, and I love that, like, it doesn't even have to be that you struggle with food. Like, people can be addicted to exercise. That's not great for your body. Mm-hmm. And you're ignoring the signs of like, hey man, like, I'm tired. I need some rest. People can be addicted to, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can. So I don't want to just say it's like just how you feed your body. Like Joe was saying, movement, sleep, like respect, honoring periods, everything plays into it. And I think it's when our emotional storylines and our analytical storylines take over our instinctual ones. Cause like, I know for me and for so many people that are listening to this, like, we also somewhat live in a world of like numbers and meaning behind it. So it's like, I wake up today and I'm supposed to run 2 miles. And if I run 1.9 miles, that means I didn't run 2 miles and I'm bad for it and I'm whatever. Like, we track our existence and our worth in numbers, in everything, like literally everything. And once again, who's dictating the numbers? Our brain. And our brain isn't the one having to go through what the numbers put us through. That's something that I had to think about, where it was like,
wow.
My brain always told me to diet, kind of like tying it back into food, but that's just kind of like my ish.
Yeah, no.
You know, my brain always said like, eat less, eat less, eat less. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, dieting and my eating disorder absolutely affected my brain and affected my mental state because I was so tired. But overall, it was just an abusive relationship of my mind bullying my body. My mind didn't actually have to figure out very much how to function with lower food, how to figure out how to exist with over-exercising, right? And like, so I think what I say so often is like, be aware of who you're taking advice from. Because if your advice is coming from the exact same voice that doesn't really have a stake in the game, why are we listening to it? Like that voice in your head that says like, eat less, run more, like you can't rest, like all of these things, any voice in your head that tells you hateful language, like towards yourself, any voice that bullies you isn't your voice. And why would we take advice from someone who's just like freeloading up there? Like they have no stake in the game. And so I always tell my girls, like at the end of the day, your decisions with how you treat your body and how you eat, even though a lot of the times we use it as a coping mechanism or a distraction from some sort of pain, like Joe was saying, like it really is a way to cope. It doesn't affect the people that hurt us. It only affects you. So you're kind of left with this kind of depressive choice of like the way that you treat your body, the only person it affects is you. Therefore, the only person you should be listening to is also you. That was a lot. Sorry.
So much wisdom. I love it. I love it because we are in this constant conversation with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And not only is this conversation constant, it is the most important conversation you will today, tomorrow, for the rest of your life ever have.
Yeah.
This is the most important conversation.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Jill, what was, so going through this course and everything, like what has been the biggest thing that you realized you were ignoring? Like, if there was one thing in kind of your body, mind, soul connection, like, was there something that you were like, whoa, like I had been ignoring that for so long?
The biggest thing that's coming to mind, I don't know if ignoring would be the right way or just that I like genuinely didn't really know or understand because I haven't chosen to dive any deeper into the topic, which would be around my period. Mm-hmm. And which has always been something uncomfortable for me. Like the first day of the course, these are like 3-hour Zoom calls and I can't do anything afterwards because it's so much information. Like you just have to decompress. We went into like your cycle and all of these different aspects of it. And we did this meditation that brings you back to the first time you ever got your period and you call in your highest self and you're visioning your highest self and having your highest self care for you as however old you were, wherever you were, care for you, how you needed to be cared for, whether or not you received that at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable. And it wasn't that I wasn't cared for, but it's that I just didn't think anything of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think anything of it. I felt the embarrassment that most girls do when they get their period for the first time, which is something so wrong. That's like an entirely different topic to get into. And I was actually at the beach and like I walked home and I used a tampon my first time, mm-hmm. which I'm learning more about all of these and like how things like this can create a disconnect within you and your body. And it's all really fascinating. Mm-hmm. What I did not realize was the connection between how impactful the connection between my period cycle and my body is. And how mastering that is going to bring me into new levels in my spirituality because I can feel into my body and because I can tune into those specific seasons of the cycle and I can like truly lean into my feminine energy and call in masculine energy when I need it and move through the cycle in a new way opposed to moving through the cycles that I have been trying to get out of for so long. No, and those, the cycles that I'm currently in look so, so different than they looked 3 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to feel unsafe in their home. Mm-hmm. Like nobody wants to like feel unsafe or uncertain or like always on edge when they're at home. And like your shell is literally your spiritual home, like on this earth, whether you're spiritual or not, like it just is, it's what carries you around. And I think it's definitely like, I love that you talk about periods. Cause I think periods are definitely one that go unrecognized of like they do. I once like, heard a girl say that your period's like your monthly report card. So it's like giving you like a, hey, like this is going well, this is going well. Like so much more goes into it than like what you realize. And yeah, I just think that that's so powerful for women to understand that, like, I don't know if this is going to sound weird, but like, you shouldn't feel uncomfortable in your body. And I'm not even talking about like body image. I think this is like my quorum of like life is I think I'm so frustrated with that there's an image of health, not a feeling. So it's like you have to look a certain way and then you're deemed as healthy and we do it to ourselves, but we completely negate what's going on under the surface. Like I read a quote by a dietitian or it was like, I think it was a tweet. I said, quote, it was a tweet by a dietitian that was like, your relationship to food, your relationship as an eater and your relationship to your plate is always going to have a larger impact on your life than what you do or do not eat. Like we think that everything physical that we can see is all that matters. And so if we look good, if we eat good, like if we do all these things physically, well then the inside's got to be doing great. And from my experience, like my entire life I struggled with food. I looked fine. I was actually on a podcast the other day talking about this where like I looked totally fine, but I was like I was so stressed out and so anxious and so in pain, and my digestion was out of whack. My period was out of whack. But yeah, on the cover, sure, looked totally great. And I really think that that whole belief system of, yeah, you look fine. Like mental health, that's something in mental health too. Like, you look fine.
Well, it's even worse when you look better than you ever have.
You look better than you ever have. Like, girl, I wish I looked like you. Like, feelings matter. Looks don't matter. And so if you don't feel connected with your body, regardless of what you look like, I just encourage you to really dive into what's keeping you from that connection. And also, like Jill was saying, I love that you talked about how you didn't even really know what was going on. You got to sit in silence. This is like, we live in a world where it is constant looking at this screen, looking at that screen, looking at this screen, looking at that screen, going over to here to look at this screen. Like, we're never just chilling, literally ever. And it was until I finally sat, and I do, so I do 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes at night in complete silence, just sitting. And wow, is it uncomfortable, because your brain's just like, what am I doing? This is a waste of time, like whatever. It is the most impactful, powerful thing you can do, is just hang out with yourself in silence. It's not, you know, yeah, well, I watched a movie alone, like that was good. Like, no, like sit there and like go into your body, figure out what's going on. Where do you feel the disconnect? What are you going to do moving forward? And I would love to hear like your big piece of advice, Jill, of like to someone who wants to start to reconnect with their body, to kind of leave them with, and to maybe challenge us, like our listeners, to try it out this week.
Yeah, I think one that is more general is you have to get in touch with your emotional body. Like, take care of yourself and hold space for yourself. Truthfully, I spent the past two nights and all of yesterday holding myself. And I did. I physically held myself, and I did breath work, and I sat there in silence. I ate my dinner in silence last night, and I sat there witnessing myself. And I think that's a good one. Try to play the role of a witness as you move through this process. And with that, like, don't judge yourself while you're in it, but try to look at it from an outside perspective and notice what's going on with you. Be observant and pay attention. And the more you do that, the more you're going to start to pick up on your intuition. A challenge that I am also going to be doing is maybe two, maybe start with one. Eat one meal a day for the rest of the week. Well, I don't know when this is launching. Do it for the next 7 days. Yeah. In silence, put your phone away. Maybe cook yourself a meal. Ask your body, what are you craving? What are you craving? And make yourself that food. Make yourself that food, and then sit down and give some gratitude for that food. Wow, thank you so much. If plants, even better, like, you literally grew from the ground. That's incredible. Thank you for this. And thank you for nourishing my body. And then sit there, and as you eat, notice how your body feels. Is your body receptive of these nutrients you're giving it? Is this maybe not the right thing? Like, does your body not feel good eating this? Afterwards, does your body feel good or does it not? Was it the right amount? Are you still hungry? Are you too full? Don't think about it in regards to amounts. Like, don't pay attention to how much food, like, I guess take note, but don't limit yourself because of what food there is.
All right. Yeah. Don't listen to the stories.
Don't listen to the stories.
It's the feelings.
Feel how you feel. Like, release that attachment to it, because some people do struggle looking at a plate. Release that attachment to it and just let your body feel. And truthfully, like, placing your hand on your, like, on your lower belly will help.
Yeah.
It really does help.
Yeah.
And just, oh, yes. Like, feel the food and feel how it works for you.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, Jill. Yeah. And like, I think, you said that beautifully. Like, I think that this podcast was hopefully so helpful, and just like, cause I would say the same thing of like, tell yourself every day that like, I got you to your body. Like, I do that where I'm like, it's rebuilding that trust. Like, I turned on my body for a decade. So to be angry with that, like, oh, like it's struggling with digestion, like how dare it? Like, right. And that's not to feel guilty. It's to have more compassion for the response that your body might be having to over dieting, over exercising, over stressing, overworking, under eating, you know, like there's all kinds of things. And I think not feeling guilty, not saying like, why did I do that? Like, I hate myself, like blah, blah, blah. Being like, hey, like, I'm really sorry. My biggest tip is to like apologize to your body. Because the whole time what we deem, and I didn't mean to like turn this into a rant, but what we deem is like bad, our body's keeping us alive. Like, I remember being like, I'm gaining weight. Like, how dare it? Like being so angry. Guess what? I needed to gain weight. Right? Like I don't get to decide. Like, so I was so pissed and I was like, it's not listening to me. It's not doing what I want. One of the best pieces of advice, and I'm going to like leave you guys with this, is when your mind says like, I want to look this way. I want to live this way. I want to have this kind of life. Like I need to be this size, all of these things. And your mind kind of goes into that like storyline of like drama and the narrative of like the fairy tale. Your body behind the scenes is going, we need to breathe so we can be here in 3 more minutes. Like our brains have so much emotion and drama and like just, yeah, drama. I was going to say shit. Just like they are. They're filled with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But your brain, you're like, and then your body's sitting there going, okay, we're going to keep pumping the heart. And how can you not be grateful for that? Because whatever you're stressed about and whatever you think you have to look like or do or be, you're not going to even get the chance to if your body wasn't working. Like you wouldn't be here in 3 simple minutes.
2 last things real quick. You said to apologize to your body, which is also something I've been doing more and more. Like I treated my body so bad for years and to apologize, but also, as you just said, Emily, like give immense gratitude for your body because your body may be one of the only things that has been there for you the entire time through all of your struggles, everything. Your body has been there. It has been there for you. And is still there for you. So like
yeah, and how can when you, like, you're laying not in bed, grateful. Like
yeah. Literally thank you. Like yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And then the other thing you said, like in our minds, I think it's important to be conscious of the fact that our emotions do manifest in our body, especially if we're not processing them. So when it comes time to sit down and like try to feel your food in your body, if you are feeling guilt or have these other emotions attached to whatever it is that you're eating, it might be good to like do some releasing practices before you sit down to eat, because otherwise you will be confusing that feeling of guilt for how the food is actually settling in your body. And I think that's something, especially for people that do struggle with food, something really important to take note of the space that you're in before you go to sit down to have that meal.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, girl. Thank you, y'all. Oh my gosh. Thank you guys so, so much for listening. Like we really
do.
We hope it was helpful. Like connect with Jill and I. I'll link her down below. She's incredible, obviously. And yeah, we just really hope that this helped you have the inspiration, motivation, and just support to not be angry, to not continuously turn away from your body, but let's turn towards it and learn how to love it and reconnect. So thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you real soon.